Armed with Truth is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Welcome to Armed with Truth, a podcast for youth. I'm your host, Lisa Bruneel. My goal here is to empower the youth of today to become a sin-resistant generation. You youth are bombarded by Satan's temptations on every side, especially when it comes to immorality, lust, and pornography. I want to talk about truths that can strengthen you, safeguard you, and bring greater power into your life through the Savior Jesus Christ. Let's get started and be armed with truth. Today's episode is all about the truths surrounding honesty. Ask yourself, what is Heavenly Father's personal message for you right now in this episode? The Holy Ghost will testify to you of the exact message Heavenly Father has for you right now today. In last week's episode, we talked about integrity, and while honesty is definitely an integral part of integrity, there was just too much to cover if I talked about them both together, and I decided honesty just deserves its very own episode. So here we are. The 13th article of faith begins with the words, "We believe in being honest." Are you honest? I mean, really, truly honest? When I was a little girl, I loved getting the Friend magazine in the mail. I would pore over all the pages and pictures, fill out the questions, play the games, all of it. One night, my family did a family night lesson from that month's issue of the Friend. The lesson was about honesty, and I was really excited about the lesson because we got to cut out a nasty-looking fuzzy black monster that had fangs and scary eyes and several black hairy legs to go along with the story. We kids cut out all the pieces and then sat at the kitchen table eager for the lesson to unfold. The story started with a little boy who told a lie. The monster's ugly black body represented the boy's lie, and throughout the story, the boy had to tell several more lies to cover up his first lie. Anytime the boy told a lie, we got to add one of the squiggly hairy legs to the monster's body. Pretty soon, the monster had a crazy mass of tangled legs. As the story went on, the boy decided to get truthful and fix the lies that he had told. When he told the truth in the story and unraveled his mess of lies, we got to remove the hairy legs one by one. The lesson had a powerful impact on me, so much so that I can recall it almost 40 years later. Honesty is fast becoming an almost outdated principle. It seems that everyone around us uses deceit in some form or another. More and more, people seem to be seeking ways to advance themselves at the expense of others, get something for nothing, take the easiest path to success, and to climb to the top of the social or corporate ladder, regardless of what it takes to get there. That's just the world we live in, and while success, wealth, and status can be very, very appealing, they often come at the cost of honesty. Everyone knows they should be honest. So how has dishonesty become so common? Well, we justify and rationalize, and Quite simply, we just deceive ourselves into dishonest behavior or into believing that some behaviors are honest when they definitely aren't. It's almost as if we have come to believe in fuzzy honesty. Have you ever had thoughts about a certain action of your own or another person that went something like this? Well, it was pretty honest. Or, well, it was honest for the most part. Or, well, maybe it was just a little bit dishonest, but not really harmful to anyone. That's what I mean when I say we've all come to believe in fuzzy honesty. As long as it's somewhat honest in our mind, we categorize it as okay. But that's not God's view of honesty. The pamphlet for the Strength of Youth says, being honest means choosing not to lie, steal, cheat, or deceive in any way. Did you hear that? In any way. Those words don't leave much room for the idea of fuzzy honesty. The Gospel Principles Manual outlines three forms of dishonesty: lying, stealing, and cheating. A lot of the next discussion points come from my study from the Gospel Principles Manual. So let's just spend a minute on each form of dishonesty. Lying is when we intentionally seek to deceive others, and there's so many forms of lying. We lie when we speak something that is not true, but lying doesn't only apply to instances when we tell a lie with our words. We may also lie by the way we act or use gestures or facial expressions. We lie when we're silent and we don't tell the entire story. We lie when we seek in any way to make people believe something that is not true. Do you struggle with lying? Some common examples of lying that you may not think of or maybe have justified are downloading apps that you've agreed with your parents not to download, signing your parents' signature on forms at school, using your phone to play a game or watch a YouTube video during class, sneaking out at night when your parents think you're safe in bed at home, not telling the whole truth about where you're going or who you're going to be with or where you have been. All of these actions are intentional actions of deceit. Stealing is any time we take something that does not belong to us. People steal money, items, music, videos, pictures, written text or ideas, a person's identity, even emotional, physical, and sexual interactions with others can be stolen. Accepting more change or goods than you should, or taking more than your share of something, is also stealing. Do you struggle with stealing? Some common examples of stealing that you may not think of are downloading and watching pirated movies, sharing access to accounts and passwords for movies, apps, products, or services that you haven't paid for, using copyrighted music or written material that you haven't paid for, as well as any time you share your access to these things with others when they haven't paid. All of these actions are stealing. Cheating is when we give less than what we owe or we get something we don't deserve. Cheating can take place at school, at work, in transactions of money, goods, time, or effort. Cheating occurs when we take unfair advantage of someone. Do you struggle with cheating? Some common examples of cheating are providing service or merchandise that isn't as good as we claim, cheating at work, like showing up late, leaving early, taking excessive breaks, or even just being lazy, getting answers from others for assignments and tests, even when everyone is doing it or even when the teacher knows it's happening, is cheating. Selling something without revealing the defects or problems is cheating. Cheating in sporting events in any way, taking credit or accepting praise for things you didn't do. All of these things are examples of cheating. Going through that list and all of those examples stings a little bit. And if I'm truthful, maybe even a lot. I'm thinking we're probably a lot alike and that you heard examples in those lists or remembered instances in your own life when you were dishonest. I did too. Dishonesty is a temptation that affects us all. My sister is a seminary teacher. I love talking about the gospel with her because she always gives me amazing insights. So I called her one day this week to talk with her about the topic of honesty and to really just get the juices flowing in my mind for this episode. It just so happened that she had taught a lesson that very morning in her seminary class about honesty. The class learned about the three different forms of dishonesty and came up with all kinds of examples of the forms in their own lives. After this, most of the class openly admitted to struggling with dishonesty. Can you relate? I know I can. The class identified cheating as being specifically a hard part of being honest, because in school today, it's just kind of the standard way most kids cheat. My sister, the teacher, asked the class how long they thought they could go without lying, cheating, or stealing. She started by asking, "Can you commit to going 1 month without being dishonest?" Some of the kids said, "Sure," but the majority of the kids were kind of hesitant. After hearing all the examples, they just really weren't sure that they could do it, especially if this was about being completely honest. So then she asked them if they could go for 1 week. Still, everyone just really didn't want to commit. They worked their way down and eventually settled on 2 days. They all agreed to make a commitment to be honest for 2 days. The teacher then tied a piece of yarn on each of the kids' wrists as a commitment bracelet and emphasized, "We are committing to be honest in every way for 2 days. This bracelet will remind you of your commitment." She told them that she really hoped that each of them would have a moment where it would be really, really hard to be honest. And because of this commitment, they would make a choice to do it. She called it a defining moment. As my sister told me this story, I was completely enthralled. I said, "You have to tell me what happens." Then ask them if I can share their stories in my podcast. I had to wait 2 whole days to hear what happened. I could hardly stand it. I wanted to know if these kids had defining moments. So I think I'll let you wait a few minutes to hear what happens too. Let's pause in the story and cover some more basics about honesty. We know dishonesty is wrong, and most often the Holy Ghost will even prompt us with uncomfortable or uneasy feelings when we are engaging in dishonesty. So why do we still do it? Well, honestly, there are so many reasons, so many excuses we use to tell ourselves why dishonesty is okay. Maybe lying is the easier thing to do at the time than telling the truth. Maybe we're just trying to protect others or protect ourselves from being hurt. Maybe we lie to look good to others. Maybe we steal because we think we need something more than the other person, or maybe we think we're entitled to those things, or we think it won't hurt anyone if we take it. Maybe we think cheating on a test at school is okay because everyone does it, because it's the norm, because the teacher even knows. Or we give our answers to others because that's not really cheating, right? If we did the work, how is that wrong? Like I said, there are so many reasons, but they're all just excuses. And in Gospel Principles, it says, "To the Lord, there are no acceptable reasons." Okay, but what about unintentional dishonesty? Does that matter? Well, remember what For the Strength of Youth says? Not to deceive in any way. I took a physics class in college. The class was really difficult, and the tests were darn right intense. An average test would have between maybe 5 and 8 problems, but because of the complexity of the problems, it would take 3 to 4 hours to complete the test. We took our tests at the testing center, and we usually had a window of about 2 to 4 days to take the test. During one open window of a test, I was studying with a group of friends in the physics lab. We were going over different kinds of problems, practicing various scenarios, and trying to learn everything that we could possibly need to know that that would be thrown our way in the grueling 3+ hours of the test. One of our friends walked into the physics lab. He was pretty physics savvy, and he seemed to always do well on the test, so we were so happy to see him. We asked him if he had taken the test yet, and he said yes, but I'll still help you guys study. We all really wanted help with figuring out how to do a leaky tank problem. It involves several different calculations using multiple formulas, and they all had to be done in a specific order. Our friend wrote out an example problem on the whiteboard. It was tricky, complicated, and involved a lot of thinking, but with his help, we got it all figured out. The next day, I went to take the test. As I proceeded through the problems, I came to a problem about a leaky tank. I was so excited because I knew how to do these problems. But as I read the question, I began to feel really uneasy. The day before in the physics lab, my friend had written the exact identical problem on the whiteboard, even including the same numbers. I didn't know what to do. I wrestled in my mind with how to proceed. The only thing I could think of to do was to write out the exact right answer that my friend had shown us the previous day and finish the test. I knew everything. I knew how to write the explanation. I knew the right numbers I needed to end up with. I knew the exact order that everything should be written. After the test, I agonized. Then I rationalized. I hadn't done anything wrong. Why did I need to do anything to take care of this? I knew it wasn't my fault. And I also knew that my friend, he was just trying to help me. I knew that if I tried to do anything about it, I wasn't just jeopardizing myself, but I could be getting him in trouble too. I tried to let it go, but I just couldn't let it rest. Maybe it was that black monster with the fuzzy black legs sitting in my subconscious. But I finally had to do something. I just wanted to clear my conscience of the deceit or wrongdoing. I made an appointment with my professor and went to see him. I explained that I had no intentions of cheating, but I wanted to stay honest. I told him what had happened. I told him I didn't want to get anyone else in trouble. I just needed to be free of the weight of the dishonesty myself. He thanked me for coming and, of course, for being honest. As far as I know, he never approached my friend, but I was able to walk out of his office free and clear of that nagging secret. I know today that if I had chosen to let that secret stay, it would still be bothering me this many years later. I would still be feeling the guilt of not taking care of it. And who knows, it may have even led me to more dishonesty. One of the absolute worst parts of any form of dishonesty is that we end up having secrets with Satan. Lies and secrecy spiritually weaken us. When we are dishonest, we essentially give Satan power over our minds and our hearts. He then uses this power to magnify the secrets, maximizing our feelings of justification, rationalization, or rebellion, and simultaneously buries us in shame. He pushes us into behaviors that eventually become patterns until dishonesty over one thing bleeds into other areas of our lives, and it can even become hard to be honest over little things. Remember, Satan is the father of lies. Secrets with him trap us. They bind us down with heavy chains. There's nothing worse than a secret with Satan. The principle of honesty significantly applies to combating the sins of lust, immorality, and pornography, because sins of a sexual nature are steeped in secrecy and isolation. If we indulge in them, we can find ourselves needing to be dishonest not only with others, but even with ourselves. As we've already seen with dishonesty in other areas of life, when we are dishonest over sexual sin, we turn to denial, justification, rationalization, and even rebellion. We hide our sinful actions from others, and we actually become trapped. Rigorous honesty is a common term used in the rooms of addiction recovery. I love the addition of the word rigorous when thinking about honesty. For me, it absolutely amplifies the meaning of the word. It helps me eliminate rationalization and justification that come with dishonesty. And instead of thinking in terms of fuzzy dishonesty, the words rigorous honesty give me something to proclaim, something to strive to be. You can prevent yourself from becoming trapped in Satan's bondage of dishonesty by striving to practice rigorous honesty. And if you are already bound by the chains of dishonesty, no matter to what degree, rigorous honesty is the only way to break free. If we want to get rigorously honest, the first person we have to be honest with is ourselves. It sounds crazy, but because we rationalize and justify and give so many excuses, we often fool ourselves. We come to live in denial that we are dishonest. But if instead we are humble enough to look at things through the clear lens of truth, we won't be deceived. We will see the areas in our lives where we are dishonest. After we are honest with ourselves enough to see the truth, we can seek to repent. To do so, we need to admit our dishonesty to Heavenly Father in prayer. Trying to hide our weaknesses and sins from Heavenly Father is pure silliness. I mean, who are we really fooling here? Have you ever thought that you were hiding something from Heavenly Father? I know that I have. Do we honestly think he doesn't know? He knows everything. He sees everything. There is nothing we can hide from him. But even though he sees and knows everything, he still wants us to be honest with him and to confess. He waits with open and loving arms for us to come to him. He is well aware that as human beings, we will struggle with dishonesty. As we come to him, he will lovingly show us how to live a better way. He will help us know who we need to tell and what we need to do to make restitution for our actions. He will open our hearts to humility, to the Spirit, and to the power of the atonement of Jesus Christ to be forgiven and be changed. Denial, justification, and deceit keep us trapped in secrets with Satan, but honesty sets us free. So let's return to the high school kids with the commitment bracelets. 2 days later, they returned to class to share their stories, and they gave my sister permission for me to share them with you. Here are just a few. One girl had an AP history exam. Because of COVID restrictions, she was able to take her AP history exam at home in her bedroom with the comfort of everything around her, including her phone. She said that there were 7 specific times during that test that she was tempted to cheat. It could have been done easily with her access to the internet on her phone, and she didn't do it. 7 specific times that she would have cheated if she had not made the commitment to be honest for those 2 days. Another girl got in the car with her mom right after class on the day of the lesson and immediately told her mom she had downloaded Snapchat without asking. Then later, while she was driving, a friend texted her and asked her for answers on an assignment, something she would have never even batted an eye at before the commitment bracelet, but this time she didn't send them. And then the next day, when she was in a chemistry test, the teacher told the class they were allowed to use their phones to get help with the answers on the test. Moments later, she got a text from a friend asking her for the answer to number 3. It would have been pretty easy and almost undetected by the teacher, but she chose not to reply. She shared with the seminary class that for the last few weeks, at the beginning of every week, she had said to herself, "I'm not going to cheat." But every week she had failed. She hadn't been able to do it. She then told her teacher, after these last 2 days, "I am not taking off this bracelet." One of the boys in the class shared how he always does his homework at 10 p.m. in his room. Whenever his parents ask him during the day if he's done his homework, he just usually tells them that he's done it, and then he waits until later to do it in his room. He doesn't like his day to be interrupted by homework. But since he made the commitment to be honest, for the last 2 days, when his mom asked if he had done his homework, he said no. His mom gave him hassle and told him to do it. And then when his dad got home from work, his dad asked if he had done his homework, and he had to say no. And his dad gave him hassle. He told the class, "Sometimes it's so annoying to be honest." Another boy was supposed to walk his dog, but didn't. He said it would have been really easy just to say that he did. His parents would never have known, and the dog wouldn't care. But he told his parents the truth, and he got in trouble. Another girl was in class with a friend. Both of them were complaining about being so tired, and the friend said, "Just go get a coffee." The girl told her friend, "I don't drink coffee," and her friend asked why. At first she said, "Just because," but then she had the clear thought that her answer wasn't really honest. So she told the class, "I told my friend that I was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and I explained to her about the word of wisdom." Later, while driving with her mom, she told her mom about the seminary lesson. Her mom pulled into the Costco parking lot and went inside to tell customer service she had not been charged for the dental floss that she had bought earlier. These experiences are so powerful. They illustrate that honesty isn't always easy, and sometimes things don't really go to our liking when we're honest, but the spiritual blessings of being honest will always outweigh anything we could receive through deceit. I hope you reflected on some additional truths and blessings that come from honesty as you listened to those personal experiences. A father once told his 16-year-old son, "The things you do in private will define who you really are." That one statement helped the boy to stay true and to make decisions that have kept him on a path of becoming like his heavenly father for decades. Being honest can have a powerful effect on those around us, but honesty is often practiced in private without anyone else knowing or being aware. So the biggest impact of your personal rigorous honesty will actually be on yourself. I invite you to join those seminary students. Make a commitment to be rigorously honest so that you can say with conviction, "We believe in being honest." Today's truth takeaways. The world we live in encourages dishonesty. Being honest means choosing not to lie, steal, cheat, or deceive in any way. There are no acceptable reasons to be dishonest. Your acts of dishonesty create secrets between you and Satan. You cannot hide the truth from Heavenly Father. He wants you to be honest with Him. The biggest impact of your rigorous honesty will be on yourself. Let's return to our first question. What is the personal message God has for you today? Is He inviting you to learn more about a specific truth, to make a change, or take a specific action? As you act on the truths that you have learned, greater power will come into your life. The power and strength to follow Jesus Christ. I can't wait to hear what you do. You can let me know on Facebook and Instagram at Armed with Truth Podcast. Keep coming back. Heavenly Father has so much more in store for you here on Armed with Truth. One more thing for today. The hardest part about this podcast is knowing that so many people need what we're talking about. I want to ask you all, if you like what you hear here, please share it. Let's spread the word of Armed with Truth. Let's get more people to listen and more people to be impacted, strengthened, and to receive the love and power that comes from Jesus Christ. I'll see you next time. Thanks for joining me here today on Armed with Truth. As we learn truth together, we become more valiant disciples of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a stronger part of his battalion, and a truly sin-resistant generation.